Well, turning your Bibles to John chapter 12. John 12, we're continuing, of course, our study of the Gospel of John. And we're seeing really the final days of Christ before he goes to the cross. In fact, the last chapters of the Gospel of John cover just a few days. In fact, we'll see Jesus as he goes to the Passover meal. We'll see him go to the garden. We'll see his arrest in six different trials. We see his crucifixion on Passover. And in these last few days before the cross, the best that we can tell, he's in the temple. And for the last few weeks, and he's teaching in the temple, and what we've been doing in the last few weeks is seeing what he's teaching about. In fact, he's been teaching about discipleship. He's been teaching about his coming death on the cross. He's even charged them to believe in him. We saw that at the very end last time. What was their response? Well, they kept on, as the Bible says, they kept on rejecting him. This morning we see, why did they reject him? Have you ever stopped and thought, why did the nation of Israel reject Jesus Christ? Out of all the people in the whole world, you'd think the Jewish people who had the scriptures, who had everything, when they saw Jesus, they would have said, this is the one who fits everything we've seen in the scripture. Why didn't they believe in Jesus Christ? Why was there a rejection of the nation of Israel? Well, it's a hard passage, and I want you to see this as we go through it. Two big things. Number one, why did the nation of Israel as a whole reject Jesus Christ? We'll see that. And then, and here's the thing that's going to be brought up because of the last part of the passage. Can a person be a believer and not confess Christ publicly? Think about it. We're going to see the unbelief of Israel and certain believers who do not confess Christ. How does all this fit together? We'll see it as we go through it. If someone were to ask you, and they came up and said, what's the Bible all about? You could say, well, it's a big book. I mean, it really is kind of a big book, but it's actually a big book with 66 different books inside of it. And it was written over about a 1,500-year time period by over 40 authors. But the truth is this, there is one central message that goes through the whole Word of God. And that is this, and we say this a lot, it is the story of how the perfect God brings sinful man back to himself using his son Jesus Christ. That's the story of the Bible, how the perfect God brings sinful man back to himself using his son Jesus Christ. God has a plan to reconcile man to himself. Over and over we have seen in God's word that when a person puts their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, they have eternal life right that minute. Right that second, they are brought into an eternal relationship with God and they have life with him forever. And we've seen that the key, and it's all the way through the book, and we've seen it 98 places in the Gospel of John, it is simply by faith. When a person believes in Christ, they have eternal life. Now, there are some who teach and say things like this. They say, if you don't publicly confess Christ, if you don't live for Christ, if you don't stand for Jesus Christ, it proves you're not a Christian. So here's a question. Can you be a believer and not confess Christ? Or can you be a believer and not stand for Jesus Christ? Well, this morning in John chapter 12, we're going to see a number of people, including the rulers who believe in Jesus Christ, but do not confess him because they would rather have the praise of men than the praise of God. We'll see how this fits as we go through the passage. Let's remember where we are. We're in the final week of Jesus' life, final week of his ministry before he goes to the cross. And as I said earlier, when you get to chapter 13, which is just not very far from now, we get to chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, those five chapters, those chapters all are where Jesus is in the upper room with his men and what we call the Last Supper. That's all in those chapters. And then the next chapters, he comes out of there and he gets arrested and he goes to the cross. So really, you realize that when you start the chapter 13, we only got about a day or two left before he dies. And so it's all sort of put in that final section. In these last days before he goes to the cross, he's teaching the crowds and he's most likely in the temple area. And as we see this final teaching, we see the rejection by the nation of Israel. And John tells us something. He tells us why this happened. And it's hard to deal with this. Why did the nation of Israel as a whole reject Jesus Christ? We'll see it as we go through the passage, and it's really hard. Well, let's begin because Jesus has just charged them to believe in him. Look at verse 36. He says this, while you have the light, believe in the light so that you may become sons of light. Now he says, while you have the light, believe in the light. The light is him. And he says, believe in the light and you'd become children of light. Now he's saying this, while I'm here, you need to believe in me. He calls himself the light. He's the light of the world. He says, believe in the light. Believe in me. And we've seen over and over again that it's always faith. And the object of our faith is Jesus Christ. People say, just believe. Believe what? Faith always has to have an object. The object of our faith for salvation is Jesus Christ. We trust in Christ. He's telling them, while you have the light, believe in the light. He's saying, believe in me so that you become sons of light. You become children of light. By faith in Christ is life. Now, Jesus left, and the reason he left, it was not time, because it's just a few days away that it is time for him to die. Notice how the passage says it. Jesus spoke these things, and he went away and hid himself from them. Literally, it says he was hid from them. It's not time for Jesus to die. It's just a day or two off. Now, John wants to give us some information so that we can understand why the nation of Israel kept on rejecting Jesus Christ. Now think about it. Have you ever thought about it? Here are the Jewish people, beginning with Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Judah, on the way down, David, all the way up to the time of Christ. Here's the nation of Israel. Why would they reject Christ? He's done all the signs. He's done all the miracles. Well, we're going to see in this passage, and it's really hard. Let me show you something. There are three things to think about, okay? Number one, it's illogical they rejected him because he did the signs and they saw all the signs. Number two, we're going to see this rejection of Christ was predicted by Isaiah that they would reject him. And then the third thing, and this is the hardest in the whole passage, that this rejection would result in the nation being hardened and blinded. And I'll explain what that means in just a minute. So three things. It's illogical, their rejection, because they saw the signs. They saw what he did. But Isaiah predicted that they would reject the Messiah. And this rejection results in a hardening and a blinding. It's really some hard things. Let's see it. Start with the aspect that it was illogical that they would reject him. Why? Look at verse 37. But though he had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. Now, John writes this and says, it just makes sense because he was performing all these signs in front of them, yet they were not believing in him. Now, he did all the signs. You know, the Gospel of John said that there are many other signs that Jesus did, but these seven are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing, you would have eternal life. That's John 20, verses 30 and 31. The purpose of the book of John is, he said, Jesus did these signs so that you would see and believe. Now, John only records seven signs, but as we look through the Gospels, we find that Jesus probably did at least 30 miracles are recorded. So Jesus did over 30 miracles. He says, although he had performed so many signs before them, they were not believing in him. Now, what was the purpose of the signs? The purpose of the signs is they would see who he is and believe in him. But they were not believing. In fact, notice this. Next slide says, the way the Greek is written there, they would keep on not believing in him. They were not believing and they just kept on not believing in him. And so he says, even though he had done all these signs and they saw them all, they were not believing. And we would say, well, that seems illogical. John says, it just really doesn't add up. He did all the signs, but they kept on rejecting him. Now, I want you to understand something about the rejection, okay? The rejection is the nation of Israel as a whole. There were still individual Jewish people who believed in Christ. So when we go through this passage, I want you to see something and understand it. When he talks about they continually rejected him and he blinded them, those kind of things, he's talking about the nation of Israel as a whole, as a people group. But there are still Jewish people who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. If you start thinking about this, you've got Peter and John and James and Andrew and all those others and the women that followed him and all these people. There are many who have believed in Jesus Christ. But as a whole, the nation of Israel rejected him. In fact, in John 1, it says he came into his own, talking about his own people, and his own received him not. That's the nation of Israel. So many Jewish people believed, but the nation as a whole rejected him. So that's the first thing. And so John would say, it doesn't really make sense because he did all the signs and they were not believing in him. Here's the second point. It was predicted that they would not believe in Christ. This was predicted. Notice the verse goes on to say in verse 38, this was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, which he spoke. Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He says, this took place that the word of Isaiah might be fulfilled. He's quoting Isaiah. In fact, he's quoting Isaiah 53 verse 1. You understand that Isaiah actually says that the nation of Israel would reject the Messiah. Now, Isaiah lived at least 600 years before Jesus was ever born, and he writes this. Now, I want you to remember what Isaiah 53 is about. If you turn there and you don't, Isaiah 53 is talking about the Messiah. And it says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised. All we like sheep have gone astray, each one our own way, but the Lord had laid on him our iniquities of us all. That's Isaiah 53. At the very beginning of Isaiah 53, there is this quote that is Isaiah 53 verse 1 that says, Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? This was what fulfilled the word of Isaiah the prophet. So John, writing this, says that this is what Isaiah said was going to happen. That the nation of Israel would reject the Messiah. In Isaiah 53:1, he starts off and says, who has believed our report? The answer is, they haven't. He's talking about the nation of Israel. And so, I want you to look at this. They kept on rejecting because Isaiah said that when the suffering servant would come, they would not believe the message. The nation of Israel is fulfilling the prophecy that Isaiah said some 600, 700 years before Jesus was ever born. Isaiah said that when the suffering servant would come, the Messiah would come, the people would reject him. Now I want you to remember, we're talking about the nation of Israel and not individual people. There were individual Jewish people who believed in Jesus Christ, but the nation as a whole, as a people group, rejected him. Now, remember this, because if you go back to John, remember at the very beginning of the book of John, John chapter 1 verses 11 and 12 said this, he came into his own people, the Jews, and they received him not. But as many as received him, that he gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe on his name. So even though he came into his own people and the nation as a whole rejected him, there were those who believed, and when they believed, they became children of God. So understand what we're saying. That the point that John is making is that it was not logical for them to reject him because they saw the signs, but they rejected him. Why? Because Isaiah said 600 years earlier that when this Messiah would come, the nation of Israel as a whole would reject him. And we have to say, how does that fit? How does that fit? Well, look at this right there. Isaiah told that this would happen, that when the Messiah would come, the nation as a whole, not individuals, but nation as a whole, would reject him. Now, this comes the hard part, okay? First part is theological, they would miss him. The second part is Isaiah said they would miss him. Here's the third part, and this is what makes it hard. Their rejection results in the nation being hardened. When they as a nation rejected and kept on rejecting Jesus Christ, God blinded them so they would be hardened and not believe. Now we're talking about as a people. Now that sounds terrible, doesn't it? That God had his people, beginning from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Judah to David, all the way up to the time of Christ. And the prophecy said when the Messiah would come, these people as a group would reject the Messiah. And then God said, when they keep rejecting the Messiah, I will harden them so they will not believe. As a nation, not as individuals, as a nation. Look at the verse. He says, for this reason, they could not believe, for Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and has hardened their heart. Let me stop for just a second. Their rejection led to hardening. As the people of Israel continually rejected Jesus Christ, it led to hardening. Now that's not uncommon in the scripture. Do you remember that Pharaoh, we studied the book of Exodus, we've been studying it on Sunday nights. In the book of Exodus, Moses would go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. And it said, Pharaoh hardened his heart. Then it said, Pharaoh hardened his heart. Then it said, Pharaoh hardened his heart. Said it seven times before the scripture ever said, and God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart seven times before God hardened his heart. The nation of Israel continually rejected the Messiah before God hardened their hearts. Notice what he says. For this reason, verse 39, this is what makes it so hard. For this reason, they could not believe. And we're talking about as a people, not as an individual. For this reason, they could not believe. For Isaiah said again, now this is Isaiah chapter 6. He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart so they would not see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted, and I would heal them. He hardened them to not believe. Now, it's just hard for us to comprehend this, but God has a people group, the Jewish people. He chose them out of all the nations in the world, from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Judah to David and on down. And this people group, when the Messiah came, it was predicted by Isaiah that when the Messiah would come, they would reject him. And the scripture also said, as they continually rejected him, he would harden them and they would not believe. We could say, why did that happen? Because God has a plan for his people Israel. Now, do you realize this? That what God said, and we can find this in Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11. We can't turn there. We don't have the time. But in Romans 9, 10, and 11, God says that there is a partial hardening on his own people. Because what God did is he took the nation of Israel and at their rejection of Christ, hardened them and set them aside. He is now using us, the church, the body of Christ, which are Jew and Gentiles into one body. We have believed. We are serving God. One of these days when Jesus Christ comes and he takes us off the face of the earth, we call that the rapture, we'll be gone. What will God do? He will turn back to his people, Israel, and he will remove the partial hardening and Israel will believe in Jesus Christ. In fact, Romans chapter 11 actually says, and all Israel will be saved, meaning as a people group, they will turn and believe in the Messiah. If you remember in the book of Revelation chapter 7, during the tribulation time period, at the very beginning of the tribulation, there are 144,000 who raised up. Do you know? 144,000 Jewish people who believe in Christ, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes to evangelize the world. So understand that what we're seeing in this passage is he says, first of all, that it's illogical the Jewish people would reject Christ because they saw all the miracles. But Isaiah said they would do it 600 years before. He said they were going to reject as a people group, not as individuals. And then he said that because of their rejection and continual rejection, God then hardened them and blinded them. Romans calls it a partial hardening, and he sets them aside until he's through with us. In fact, Romans says there's a partial hardening coming upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in with the Gentiles. When God gets through with us, takes us off, the partial hardening will be gone, and Israel will believe. So if you said, why is it that the Jewish people rejected Christ? First of all, it was illogical because they saw the signs. Second, Isaiah said they would, predicted it. And when they continued to reject, God partially hardened them. Look at the verse. For this reason, verse 39, for this reason they could not believe. For Isaiah said again, and this is in Isaiah chapter 6, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart so they would not see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted, and I would heal them. He's saying they are not going to believe as a people group. He has blinded and hardened them. That's why when you say you could go to Israel today and go into Israel, and how many people in Israel have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior? Not very many. In fact, most Jewish people today, especially in Israel, have rejected most things because of the partial hardening. But there are many, and this is what I want to make the point, there are many individual Jewish people who have believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. When he says he has hardened them and they cannot believe, he's talking about the nation as a whole and not the individual. We're going to see it in just a minute. When I went to Dallas Seminary years ago, one of my professors was Jewish believer. And he and I, he took me, I liked him a lot. We got to talking. He said, how would you like to go with me into a Jewish neighborhood and evangelize? I went, okay. And so I said, yeah, I was scared, you know. So we went. And it was amazing because sometimes you don't knock on the door and you talk to people and they received us. Now they didn't necessarily, they didn't believe, but they were nice to us. Sometimes you go knock on the door and you tell them who you are. And there was a man, I'll never forget this. I went to the door. He told me, you go first. I said, thanks a lot. So I knocked on the door and I said, hi, I'm from Dallas Seminary. And it would be possible. I'd like to talk to you about Jesus Christ. And he kicked me. He kicked me and I jumped back and he said, get off my porch. And so my professor was standing on the sidewalk just grinning, you know. And so I jumped off the porch and I said, hey, thanks a lot. He said, that's what it's like sometimes. And let me tell you what happened. His wife opened the door and she went, you're doing a good job. And then she shut the door. So what I want you to see, it is possible that when he says that they've been hardened as a people group, that doesn't mean individual Jewish people can't believe or don't believe in Christ, because many do. So he says this, it was inconceivable that they would reject him because they saw the signs. But they did. Why? Because Isaiah predicted 600, 700 years before time that they would reject. And because they kept on rejecting, God hardened them as a people and blinded them. That's what he says. It's powerful. And I don't know what, let's see where we are on this. He has blinded them and hardened their heart. I think go on to the next slide. Look, Romans 11, 25 says it's a partial hardening that has come upon the nation. Okay, go on one more. Israel rejected, and at the time of Isaiah was talking about that they would not be able to believe because they were rejected. And at the time of Christ, Israel rejects and is not able to believe. And I'm talking about as the people group. Look what he says in verse 41. These things Isaiah said because he saw his glory and he spoke of him. He saw the glory of God. Do you remember this passage in Isaiah 6? Isaiah's there and he sees the throne of God and he sees the glory of God. He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And these cherubims were flying around going, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. And all of this was happening. And he said, I am a man of what? Unclean lips. I can't even talk. And one of those angels went and got a hot coal from this fire and they took it and put it on his lips. And God said, I've cleansed you and now you can speak for me. But just remember, they won't listen to what you say. And he says in Isaiah that when the Messiah would come, they won't listen to what you say as a people group. And as they reject, I will harden them. That's what it's all about. So these things Isaiah said because he saw his glory and he spoke of him. That's a powerful thing. So it's illogical because they saw the signs. It was predicted by Isaiah and as a result, they're blinded. But God's not through with them. God's not through with Israel. Read Romans 9, 10, and 11. Just read it and see what he says, because the whole chapters 9, 10, 11 deal with the nation of Israel, past, present, and future. And you'll see what God has to say. Now, I want you to understand something that is amazing. That in the midst of a nation rejecting him, individual people believed. Notice verse 42. Nevertheless, many, even of the rulers, believed in him. I just want you to see that. Many of the people believed in him. John 1:11, he came into his own, and his own received him not. In the midst of the rejection, but as many as received him, and he gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe in his name. Now, the last part of this passage raises the question that I talked about at the very beginning. What about when a person believes? What if they don't stand for Christ? What if they don't profess Christ? What if they don't confess Christ? What if they don't? Look what it goes on to say. Nevertheless, many, even of the rulers, notice, believed in him. 98 times in the Gospel of John, it's faith in Christ. They believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. Now, let me show you something. There are two groups. Unbelievers who do not trust in Christ, believers who trust in Jesus Christ. Now, of believers, there's two groups, okay? Believers who stand for Jesus Christ and confess him. There are believers who don't confess and they don't stand for him. All who trust Jesus Christ as Savior are believers, but not all believers stand and confess. Look what he says in verse 42. Nevertheless, many, even of the rulers, believed in him. They believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him. Now, to confess, confess means to proclaim. It means to make known. They were not making known that they believed in Jesus Christ. Now, you hear people say this, that if you're a real Christian, you'll tell people, you'll stand for Christ. And people say that if you don't stand for Christ and you don't confess him, you're not a Christian. I'm going to tell you, that's wrong. You can be a believer and not stand for him. You can be a believer and not confess him. You can be a believer and not tell a soul that you've trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, that's not what you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to live for Christ. You're supposed to stand for Christ. But let me tell you, whether you stand for him or not is not the basis of your salvation. Your salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone plus nothing. Can believers deny Jesus Christ? Yes. How about Peter? Three times. And what about the last time? He actually said, may a curse be upon him. I don't know the man. What about a man named Demas? Demas traveled with Paul, but Paul writes and says, Demas, having loved this present world, has left us. Didn't mean he wasn't a believer. Can we be a believer and not be a confessor? The answer is yes. Listen to this. You don't have to turn there. In John 19, after Jesus died on the cross, and his body's on the cross, do you remember who went to Pilate and said, I would like to have the body? Do you remember who that person was? His name was Joseph of Arimathea. Is that right? Listen to this. This is John 19, verse 38. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but a secret one for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body. Now let me just tell you, when he went and got the body of Jesus, from that point on they pretty much felt like he might have been with Jesus, okay? But up to then, nobody knew. Why didn't people know? Because he was afraid. He didn't want to tell anybody. You ever been afraid? You ever been in a class in which a professor says something that's contrary to the scripture, or some student stands up or says something like, oh, the Bible's not accurate or anything true at all, or anybody that believes in all that religious stuff's pretty stupid. And you didn't say a word? You didn't say a word? Why not? Well, I mean, I didn't want to look foolish. Look foolish? Were you afraid you might look foolish? Were you afraid of something? Have you ever been in a situation where something came up about Christianity or about Christ and you felt like maybe I should tell this person, but, well, I just didn't. I mean, I didn't want to hurt their feelings, or I didn't, you know, they're my friend and I didn't want to run them off. I was afraid I might run them off. You ever been afraid? Look at this passage. It says, nevertheless, even many of the rulers believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing and they were not announcing that they belonged to him. Why? For fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. They didn't want to put out the synagogue. You know what the synagogue was? Synagogue comes from synagose, and that means to gather together. It was the place that the Jewish people met, and it's where they worshiped. And there were believers in Jesus Christ that would go to the synagogue, but they knew that if they announced, made known, that they actually believed in Jesus as Messiah, they would get put out of the synagogue. And they said, I'm not going to do that. They were secret disciples. They were people who were secret believers. Let me show you what synagogue looked like, just so you get an idea. That's what synagogues look like. The middle part's where the men were. The side part over here is where the women were. Let me show you one that we see modern time. There's one right there. That's what's left of a synagogue. You can see that one side and then the other side. They didn't want to get put out of the synagogue. When Joseph of Arimathea went and asked for the body, it says that he was a secret disciple. You know who was with him? If you remember back to John chapter 3, there was a man by the Nicodemus who came to Jesus at night. He didn't come during the day. He didn't want people to know that he was coming to talk to Jesus because he was a ruler of the Jews. Do you realize that the two people that got the body of Jesus Christ was Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus? They took the body. From that point on, I think people said they must be believers in Jesus. Now, why? Look what it says. For they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. See, that word literally means praise. They wanted the praise of men rather than the praise and approval of God. Listen, you're going to stand before Jesus Christ one day. It has nothing to do with your salvation. It's called the judgment seat of Christ, which is the rewarding stand. And if you stand before Christ and you have lived for Him and you've stood for Him, He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. If you have not stood for Him, He's not going to say, well done. This has nothing to do with your salvation. It has to do with your rewards. And there's a lot of people who do not live for Christ and who do not stand for Christ, because they want the approval of this world and these people rather than the approval of God. Now one day, you're going to stand before your Savior. And it has nothing to do with your salvation. It has to do with rewards. And if you have stood for Christ, if you've said, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I believe He's the Son of God, and He's the way, the truth, and the life, and I'll stand for Him, and I'll confess Him, and I'll proclaim Him in this community. If you do that, one day you're going to hear Him say, well done. But there are a lot of people who are believers that don't do that because they're afraid. So don't let somebody say to you that if they don't stand for Christ, they're not a believer. There are a lot of believers who don't stand for Christ. Now, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to live for Him. We talked about this several weeks ago. We're supposed to, our lives count for Christ. Let me put this up here. Do you believe and confess, or do you believe and deny? Because you can do both. Are we pulled by the approval of this world or by the approval of God? The charge for believers is to stand for Jesus Christ, to boldly share who we are. Because who are we? We're children of light. We're children of God. We're ambassadors for Christ. That's who we are. Boldly stand for Christ. May we as believers stand for Jesus Christ, looking for God's approval rather than man's. Well, what have we seen? We've seen John said they kept on rejecting in spite of the signs, and it was predicted by Isaiah, and when they continually rejected, God hardened them as a nation. But individuals still believed, because it says right here, many of them believed, but because of the Pharisees and because of the fear of people, they didn't confess Him, but they were believers. Because see, they rather have the approval of men rather than the approval of God. So let me give you some applications, and here's one. Make very clear the salvation message. We have it. Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came to the earth. He died on the cross. He paid for sin and rose again. All who believe in Him have eternal life. We must be very clear that salvation is by faith. Listen, some people are not going to believe. They keep on rejecting. Let me tell you a story. There was a guy by the name of Robert Ingersoll. He lived around the 1900s, 1910, somewhere in there. And he would go around, he was an atheist, and he would go around and lecture at places. He would go into towns and he would call a meeting, and he would get all the people in a room, and he would stand up and say, I do not believe there's a God. In fact, I will prove it. I will give God 5 minutes to strike me dead. And he would wait for 5 minutes, and then he would go, see, 5 minutes have passed, there is no God. He would do that in town after town. One place, at the end of his 5 minutes, he shouted, there is no God, and a man stood up. And the man said this, he said, you've just demonstrated that not even you can exhaust the patience of God in 5 minutes. Be clear on the message. It is the message of salvation. Second, understand God's plan for Israel. I mean, God has a plan for Israel. It was illogical, but they missed the signs. And Isaiah said long before that when the Messiah would come, they would reject Him. And because of their continual rejecting, Isaiah said in chapter 6 that God would harden them as a people group. And so remember that when you look at it and you think, well, why don't the nation of Israel, why would they miss Jesus? I mean, you understand this book. It's a Jewish book. Every author in this book's Jewish. And Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is Jewish. I was on a plane one time talking to a lady named Miss Pfefferman. She owned some stores in Amarillo, and she was a Jewish lady, and we got to talking, and she said something about being Jewish. I said, oh, I love Jewish people. She said, why do you love Jewish people? I said, my Messiah, my Savior's Jewish. It's true, isn't it? And your Savior's Jewish? You love Jewish people? Listen, Jewish people as a whole, God hardened them. Because as a nation, He set them aside, partial hardening. One of these days, after we're gone, He's going to look at them, He's going to remove the hardening, and it says, and all Israel will be saved. That means as a people group, they're going to believe in Christ. Each one, every time, it's individual. Now, the third thing, be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Let's stand for Christ. Not only just believe in Him, but stand for Him. If we walk out these doors, make it known who you represent. You represent Jesus Christ. You're an ambassador for Christ as though God did beseech through you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Stand for Christ. Confess Christ. You know what the first confession that a believer can make? Think about this. It's their baptism. Why are people baptized? People are baptized to show their identification with Christ. The very first proclamation that a person has trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior is they're getting baptized. They're telling to other people, I have believed in Jesus Christ. I'm identified with His death and His resurrection. That's what baptism's for. It's proclaiming that you belong to Jesus Christ. If we don't confess that we belong to Christ, it does not prove that you're not a Christian. What it does prove is you're not an obedient Christian. You're not standing for your Savior. May we confess our Savior. May we stand for Him, clearly proclaiming the great message of salvation by faith in Christ, knowing that there are going to be those who believe and those who reject. May we stand for Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a passage. Thank You, Lord, for all of these things. Lord, thank You that we realize that we have a clear message of salvation. It's faith alone in Christ alone. Jesus died and rose again, and whoever believes in Him has eternal life. Thank You, Lord. May we understand Your plan for Israel, that even though the signs were there, they rejected. Why? Because Isaiah said they would. And because of their continual rejection, You hardened them, Lord. But it's not over for them. You have a plan for Israel as a nation. Thank You that individual Jewish people, in fact, individual people throughout the whole world can believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. May we stand for our Savior. May we proclaim Him. May we confess Him. May we stand in our community and on the campus, in our neighborhoods, in our families, that we let people know that we have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior and that He is the way and the truth and the life, and there's no other way to get to the Father except through Him. May we do that. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.